You're listening to 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. This is the Electric Drum. I'm Jose Candelario, and today I am speaking with none other than probably one of the greatest DJs I've ever met, Mr. Diamond D. What's up, Diamond?
Hey, this is Diamond from 94.3 Spectrum. That's the old days. That's the old days. What's up, brother? What's happening? What's happening?
Nothing much. Before we get into it, tell me a little bit about where you're from.
All right. So I normally lie and tell people I'm from Puerto Rico, I'm from Jamaica, I'm from all these different places. But I was born and raised right here, New Haven, Connecticut, Yale New Haven Hospital, the original one on Howard Avenue. Not this stuff that I don't see now. You know what I'm saying? I was born, mother, father, of course, had to be born. But I was raised by a single parent. My mother raised me, my grandmother raised me, my aunt, her daughter raised me, and my cousin raised me. So I'm a New Havener. I'm a New Havener. I'm proud to say I'm a New Havener. I went to Baldwin Street School. That's not even there no more. St. Aidan's, Troop, and then I went to Hill House University.
Before we get into those later years, tell me a little bit about your mom and how was it growing up with her?
Growing up with a single mother who worked, who did everything. It was, I don't even have the words for it, because she did everything, like everything. When I say everything, you're trying to make me emotional, but she did everything. Like we played catch. She taught me how to, this is crazy, she taught me how to sew. I'm actually a seamstress. She taught me how to sew. It wasn't odd. It just wasn't to me. It just wasn't odd. It's like my mother was like my superhero. I could go to her for anything and she could solve it. And that was kind of crazy because she just solved it. If I said, Ma, she had a good job. She worked at Winchester. And if I said, Ma, I want to go here. I was my mother's only child. If I wanted to do something, she made sure it happened. And for that, you know, it's just, I can go on and on, but it was just the experience I was just using is incredible.
Tell me one ethic that you got from her that today sticks with you every day that you do something.
According to my family, all I can say is that I'm the spitting image of my mother. And I act exactly like my mother. So everything I do every day, my family tells me, the older generation tells me, you act exactly like your mother. They say you, everything. It's just so much I got from her. Like comedy with her was natural. Everything was funny. And to this day, I get in trouble because I could be in a meeting and just start laughing. And people go, it's not funny, it's serious. And I just be like, oh, we never did anything serious. The only time I knew it was serious is when she had to lay down the law. And that's why I'm going to leave it at that.
That's such a blessing to have that in your life, to be able to find the funny and everything, because your life wasn't that great. It wasn't grand. I mean, you had struggles, but you really didn't feel them because of that, huh?
No, we have, I mean, you know, it's hard for me to answer questions when my mother... But we did have struggles. We went through, you know, I'm never embarrassed to talk about my life. We went through bankruptcy. We went through foreclosures. We lost everything. She lost everything. And, you know, but through it all, she always made it clear that you can always recover. And my mother was one of these people, and I never understood. And my wife hates it to this day. My mother is this person. Oh, we bought this car. Something's wrong with it. It's not working out. You know what? And she would say to the dealer, just keep it. And we would walk away. She would walk away. And you'd go, but Ma. And she would tell you, I've been bankrupt before. We've been broke before. We've had lights shut off. We've had gas shut off. And guess what? We still made it through. And she would be like, as a man, she would tell me, and it's crazy that a woman would say to me as a man, your job is to work. She would say that. That's your job, is to work. And if you have a family, and she said it, if you have kids, when you're young, you take care of your kids. You take care of your family. She said, but as a man, you don't beg. You don't move into a house with a woman. You don't live with a woman. You have to have your own. Like, she preached all of these things to me. And it was crazy because, like, today I have 5 kids and I preach those same things to my kids. And it's like, yo, like, everything I learned, like, it's, I'm sorry, I don't want to clap, I get excited, but talking about my mom and I get emotional. But it was just like, you know, she instilled so much in me that, like, sometimes when I get down and depressed, I hear her going, if you don't knock it off. Like, we had a house. We were remodeling the house. And I was very upset about something. And she said, I never even told the story before. So you're getting an exclusive. So we were remodeling the house. And we had, like, ran into a whole lot of money. And I was depressed because I was like, we're losing, you know, we're running out of money. We're running out of money. And, you know, my car and this and that. So my mother picks up this glass, this expensive piece of glass. And she looks at me and was like, you see this beep, 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 beep. And I was like, yeah. She said, this is thousands of dollars. She said, do we care about this? And I said, yeah. She said, no, we don't. And she threw it and she shattered it. And she said, now we start from the beginning. And I was like, oh, she's crazy. She's crazy. And she used to always tell me, you got to pick yourself up and keep going. And that's just some of the things. You know, I get off track when I talk about
No. That's understandable. So she really talked to what was valuable. What to value in life. What was really important.
Yeah. She always told me, too, family's going to dog you. Family's going to hurt you. But she said, but they're always your family. And she said, when you have it all, family's going to be there. When you lose it all, they're still your family, but they're not going to be like they were when you had it all. Mm. And I live by that, even in my relationships with people to this day. I just, you know, like I said, I have a lot of my mother's teachings in me. My grandmother, my aunt, God bless her, she's like 85, 87. She's starting to have dementia. But she came over for Thanksgiving, and I laughed, and we talked. And I just was telling them that at a young age, she went to UNH, and she had me reading all these, now it's deep now, but back then, I'm talking about 77, 78, she had me reading all these self-help books, motivation books. I didn't know what they were. She's a social worker.
Oh, okay.
She had me reading, you know, Cosmopolitan magazine. Like, what am I doing? So it's just, you know, like I said, I'm a hot mess. I'm all over the place.
There's nothing wrong with that. You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario, and we're listening to the kind words, the hot mess known as Diamond.
And guess what we're going to do? We got to send a shout out to my cousin, Dawn Slade. She used to host the Electric Drum when I was a little kid.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Full circle. Yeah, and now you're circle. A guest. let's talk a little bit about your career in music and in radio, because it's pretty extensive.
Yeah, well, again, like I said, my mother, the comedian, my aunt, the super serious, but my cousin Dez and my cousin Roy, they were my music people. So while we're on this thing, while we're on the Electric Drum, I'm going to say this out public. My cousin Roy, I promised him I would give him a Technique 1200 because he always brings up that when I was little, I used to go in his room, break all his needles on his record player. I used to scratch up his records. And my cousin Desiree, They were all music. When I say music, music, music. Like my cousin Roy was at my house and talking about he just bought speakers that cost like over $10,000. And I told him my speakers cost $1,000. And he was like, you got to get $10,000 speakers. And when, I was like, Roy, I can't do that. That's how serious they are with music. Like my cousin Desiree has a whole room full of albums. So when I say their music, like I used to just tear up their stuff. So I promised them that I'm going to make it right. I'm going to do my best to make it right. So my cousin Desiree bought me the original Jackson 5 album. And I was like 8 years old, like the original. It was like crazy. And then she took me to see Stephanie Mills, The Wiz, the original one. Like, she took me to these places, and this is how they were instilling music. And then one day, listening to 94.3 WIBC, the rhythm of the city, DJ Stretch Armstrong, R. Stretch, Dilbert, he says, 1978, so you brought it up. I'm gonna show you how it goes. He goes, we're going to play a song by the Sugar Hill Gang. So, you know, back then, had to get the tape recorder set. So they played the song, Rapper's Delight. They played it over and over again, and I recorded it. So I said, wow. So then we went to Gulf Street Park. Rest in peace to DJ Joey D, my main man DJ Mario, DJ Reggie Reg. Rest in peace to Flash Gordon. So I'm a young kid, and I'm at the park, and I see this guy go, good, 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 good times. And I said, oh, my God, what is that? And they was like, yeah, that's the new wave of DJing. I was always in there playing music. But when I watched them, I said, oh, my God. So I went and got two record players, tearing up the house system again, took their record players, put them together, started trying to be a DJ. I was a rapper first. I was doing the rap thing. I had tapes from New York, all of it. And I wanted to be a DJ so bad. And my grandmother and my mother were like, we'll support you. But my mother, can't curse on the radio, but my mother said to me, you procrastinate a lot. And she said, if you're going to do rap, if you're going to do this, I'm sorry, bebop, bebidi bop, or whatever they called it. She said, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it serious. And she said, we're not going to play with it. So this is how I say my mom is my hero, because we woke up one morning on a Saturday. And my mom, I didn't know she was so street savvy. So I got a little lisp. I'm trying to work on these new dentures they had to put in today. I didn't realize my mother was street savvy like this. She says, let's go. We're going to New York. I said, what? She said, let's go. She says, we got to go to Delancey Street. I said, Delancey Street? I never heard of it. She said, it was a Sunday morning. She said, Jewish customs, the first customer that comes in on Sunday morning gets a discount. She said, you want to be into the bebop and all that stuff? I was like, all right. So we go. She buys me sheepskin, the hat, gloves. Okay, all right. I don't know what it is. She buys me something called British Walkers. I'm like, dang, this woman is like, oh. So now she says, I heard of a place called Upstairs, Downstairs Records. She said, it's in the subway. I've never been in a subway before in my life. She goes, we're going to Upstairs, Downstairs Records. I'm sorry, let me rewind. I ordered some records from there. That's when you had to call on the phone. It took about 3 weeks for them to come in the mail. So she said, we're going to go there. and you're going to pick out records. So I was like, Ma, I don't know what I'm doing. She said, nah, you want to be a DJ, right? So I said, okay. So I buy something. We go there. We're upstairs. And the guy goes, oh, what you want is in the basement. So I go to the basement. Yeah, you got to go down to the subway. You got to pay a little 25 cent and go down to the basement. So we go to the basement. We buy break beats. I don't know what they are. The guy goes, oh, you want to be a DJ here? You need two copies of these. So I get them. And that's how it all started. Like, it really started like that. Like, my mom, then she bought me some microphones that cost $100.
And back then, that's a grip.
Yeah, so she was like, here goes your microphones. Then my grandmother, when we went to Macy's because we couldn't find to 100s. And my grandmother was like, I'm going to buy you these two churn tables. And at the time, they was $100 each. And I was like, ooh. And she was like, I'm going to get these for you. And then we fell into hard times and it didn't happen. But I still have my records. And then I was going places with people who DJed. So now we're going to go here. I met a man who later turned out to be related to me. His name is Dr. Edward Joyner. So Dr. Joyner says, because we were DJing on other people's equipment. Shout out to, let me rewind back again, my brother's SW1, Steve Wallace. He had equipment. He was older than us. I never realized he was that much older than us. Like, we was like 14, and he was working at Pratt & Whitney. He's like my brother. I love him to death. And he had DJ equipment, and he was acting funny. He wouldn't let us touch his equipment, you know, all of that. And then when you go to Joey D and Reggie Reg, you know, you go to them. This is a wild story. They called me up one morning and said, yo, meet me at Day Street Projects. So I get dressed. I go to Day Street Projects. And this is why I get mad at DJs today. I told you I'm going to be all over the place. They don't pay dues. A lot of young DJs, they don't pay dues. They don't deserve what they get. Because they haven't earned it, and they get mad when I say it. So I went to Day Street Projects. I unloaded Mario's van. Show me how to set up the equipment. Joey said, go ahead, man. See if it worked. I did a jugger jugger, and he said, that's it for you. That's it. He said, jugger jugger, that's it. You're all set. Go sit in the corner and watch. And I was hurt because I was like, yo, I got up and walked to Day Street, and I'm just sitting in the corner. End of the day, put the equipment into the car. All right, man, we'll see you later, man. I think they might have bought me a sandwich from Penguins as my compensation. So as this DJ thing progressed, shout out to my sister, Lorna Lang. We went to St. Aidan's together. She was already on WYBC. I don't know how she managed that one because we were still in school. But Lorna said, I'm going to show you how to DJ. So she ran Gulf Street Park, Unity in the Community. She showed me how to DJ with two turntables and use the actual crossfader mixer. And I was like, oh, my God. And I give her credit to this day. Every time I talk about DJing, I never leave her out there. I never leave her out the story because we were St. Aidan's people. She was a year or two older than me, and she was on the radio, and she literally showed me how to DJ. Then got the Hill House. She was a couple of years ahead of me. Got the Hill House, and I met Dr. Edward Joyner. Now, this is where he comes in. Dr. Joyner says, I want to start a DJ club at Hill House. I said, wow.
You're listening to the Electric Drum right now, 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario. We're listening to the historic words from Mr. DJ Diamond D. We're now at Hill House with Dr. Ed Joyner starting a DJ club.
Yeah, so this is 1981. He goes, we're going to do a DJ club. He brings us all into the home economic room. He has equipment set up. He lets us DJ. We're making all this noise, and we're rapping, we're DJing. He says, you're going to be my DJ club. He said, "You're going to start the DJ club." So he bought equipment. We had equipment, everything. So from 1981, I started DJing Hill House parties. And I got in trouble. I got a bad report card. And my mom said, "You can't DJ tonight." She said, "You can't go to the Hill House dance." So I said, "Oh man, I gotta go to the Hill House dance." So I did it anyway. I dealt with the consequences at hand. Then Dr. Joyner said, "You disobeyed your mom, so I gotta pull you from the DJ club." So he was like, "If you wanted, you know," like everybody who was there was like, "If you really want to do this, you have to be serious about it, but you have to also pay your dues, but you have to work for it. You have to do your schoolwork. You can't be a clown." So, you know, my comedy side got shut down. But it taught me, it made me realize this was my passion and this is what I love to do. So from 1981 until I graduated, 81, 82 to 85, I DJed all of the Hill House, me and a group of people. We DJed all of the Hill House parties. Then we started going to different neighborhoods. This is when it was cool to go to neighborhoods. Then I hooked up with some brothers from Cross, Mike Bell, Mike Ritter. Then we started doing house parties. We started going around doing house parties. Then I had a little competition with my man, DJ Bro and Johnny J. That was crazy because then we wanted to battle all the time. That's when battling was battling. Shout out. And most people don't know this. Like, I can give a history lesson. I can sit here for 3 hours and give you a history lesson. Shout out to Renard Sutton, the coach of Hill House basketball team. He was DJ Silky Smooth, Silky Slim. He was very nice on the turntables. He was serious on it. Like, he was like a Grandmaster Flash level on the turntables. Like, we all battled. It was just good old-fashioned fun. That's how the DJ career started. So I technically can say 1978 all the way until now, this has been my passion.
What has been some of your favorite events as you've DJed?
This sounds cliche, but most of the events that I've DJed, I always make them my favorite. If you catch me on a real crazy night, I'm just like a different person. But my biggest event was, and there was nobody there, I DJed at the legendary Toad's place. I got to sign the wall in the basement. Like, I was on stage at Toad's place, and they let me sign the wall because I DJed with all the musicians and all the famous people, and I got to put my little signature on the wall, and the guy gave me a little space, a little tiny space. He said, "You put your name there," and I signed my name. And it was incredible because I DJed at Toad's place. And one of my other moments of DJing is my mom got to hear me DJ on WYBC. When we came on, we, again, shout out to SW1, Larry Love. SW1 had this is how you know you friends with somebody, because you always got that one friend that has that crazy idea. He called me up, "Yo, we're going to be on YBC." I said, "Man, how are we going to get on YBC?" Because we listened to YBC our whole life. And he was like, "Yo, we're going to be on YBC. I figured it out. Got to take the class." "What class?" "Yo, we're going to go to Yale, and we're going to take the community class." I was like, "What?" So he's like, "Yo, we're going to do it." So we get in the class. It's us and all these Yale students. We in the class. And I'm like, "Yo, we really in here?" And he's like, "Yo, just chill, chill, chill." So they give us our FCC license, which I don't even think you need now. They gave us an FCC license. We had all this stuff. And I kind of faded off because, like I said, I procrastinate. I was doing my thing. I was like, "I don't need this WYBC thing." So he got on and he did the Power Hours rap show. So him and Larry, some other people. So I was like, yo, I want to do it now. So they said, you got to pass the test. So I passed the test. So now, again, paying dues on the radio. People just get on the radio now. So we had to do overnights.
Mm-hmm.
In order to be on the radio, you had to sit with somebody mm-hmm. on these shows. Then you had to do overnights. So the first couple times, I was like, man, I can't stay up all night. But they was like, if you want to be on the radio, you must do overnights. So I did like a month of overnights on Saturdays, Fridays and Saturdays. You had to reserve the studio. See, people don't understand. You had to fight to reserve the studio. You had to get there like on Sunday and just put diamond, 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 diamond. Like you had to fight to reserve the studio. Like Mia, shout out to Mia E. She was up there. Cindy Brown, rest in peace, Carl Douglas. Like we had to fight with people. Like it was real. Like naming Bradley, he had the gospel show on Sunday morning. So if you was on Saturday to Sunday, so I literally had to leave the club at 2 o'clock in the morning. I hope I don't get in trouble. We just had to sneak into WIBC through the fire escape. You go on the air, you do your show, and then at 6 o'clock in the morning, they started the broadcast. So that's how, and then I got on the radio, and then I started doing my show every day, and I had to do a weekday show. So I was literally running from the Board of Education where I worked at to WIBC, legally parking in the student parking lot, praying that yelled into our car, towed my car. Then I got on the air, and then my mom was able to hear me be live on the air. Then she embarrassed me. She called me and said, I know you got to do your... She called me one time on the air, and I said, WIBC, you live on the air. And she was like, hey, baby. She was like, Derek, this you? That's my government name. She was like, Derek, this you? And I was like, hey, Ma. She was like, yeah, on your way home, bring me back 2 packs of Salem Lights 100s and bring back some eggs, some milk, and something else. And I was like, Ma. She was like, no, I'm listening, but we need that at the house.
And now it comes down to this.
Uh-oh.
We've got your birthday bash coming up.
Yeah.
Capricorn bash, celebrating all your career, everything that you've done. That's January 4th, Terminal 110, birthday back. Tell me a little bit. Tell me, what did I miss?
You didn't miss much. It's January 4th. It's my actual birthday. It falls on a Saturday. I used to have birthday parties, and I stopped doing it because of the pandemic. I had one scheduled a couple years ago, but the pandemic, they said numbers were going to rise. But January 4th, we're going to be at Terminal 110. Doors open at 7:45. Capricorns, if you need VIP, 203-901-6656. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a party. We're calling it a Capricorn Extravaganza. We're going to have a party where we're going to have fun. That's what's missing, fun. I'm asking you to come in to dance, have a good time. We may, like I said, I'm a sing Jay now, you know. I'm going to sing Jay now. We're going to sing. We're going to laugh. We're going to joke. We're going to have a good time. The lineup is coming along. I got a couple of very well-known DJs that are calling saying they want to be a part of it. So we're going to start at 7:45. Doors open. Get you situated.
And the party is until the shades get pulled down.
Yeah, the party is until. The party is until we get... Either put out.
So get there early. get there early.
Yeah,
right?
Get there early. All right. Yeah. So, you know, again, before I go any further, can I do this, please?
This is now your last final words before you go. DJ Diamond D, it's all yours. Take it away.
Now, this is a serious for me right here. I like to say thank you to a gentleman at WIBC who me and my wife worked. I got to say thank you to Juan Castillo. Our history goes back to when I was 12 years old. I used to play high lie, and Juan worked at the amateur high lie. And he was him and a young brother named Dick. Pause. They were the first two black men I've ever seen out at Milford High Line, at the amateur High Line. And Juan made sure my mom would say, "I'm dropping you off in Milford." I was a young black kid. I was the only black kid out there. And Juan and Dick took good care of me. And Juan made sure that I was good anytime I was there. He worked there. If you go to his old office, he has a real cesta hanging up. And I like to always shout Juan out and say, thank you for, you know, when I was a young kid, for looking out for me and making sure that I was safe when I was way out there in Milford.
You listen to the kind words of DJ Diamond D. Thank you very much for your time.
It was great, man. I'm sorry I was all over the place, man. You know, you got to give me a script. If you don't give me a script, man, I'm going to be everywhere, man. Nah. But I enjoy Electric Drum, man. It's an honor to be on the Electric Drum. I've been listening to Electric Drum. I'm almost 60 years old. I've been listening to Electric Drum for over 50 years.
Wow. I hope you keep listening.
Yeah, I'm going to keep listening.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario, and those have been the kind words of DJ Diamond D. And to everybody that's out there, like always, thank you for listening.